1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, God has equipped every believer with the ability and the responsibility to judge. We know from the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians 6, for instance, that God has made us judges, and we are commanded to make just, righteous, biblical judgments now, and of course, one day we'll even judge the world. And we looked last week and saw that we have the Spirit of God, we have the Word of God, and we have a new nature. And because God has equipped us this way, we have the right and we have the capability of making good, biblical, God-honoring judgments. And the devil and the world and your old nature want to stop you from making these good judgments. The devil wants you to believe, and he has a counter for everything that is true with God. The devil wants you to believe that you can't judge, and so he'll take Scripture out of context. He'll take a passage of Scripture out of context, and he'll use the world to say this, that you don't have a right to judge. Nobody has a right to judge. But that's just not true. We find in this text there that we have not only a right to judge, but we have a responsibility to judge. Biblical judgment is necessary. It is necessary so that you'll not be carnal, but be spiritual. It is necessary for your spiritual health. It is necessary for your spiritual stability. If you do not make good judgments based on the Word of God, you're going to be an unstable Christian. If you do not make good judgments based on the Word of God, you'll be an unhealthy Christian. And so we want to look at this. We must learn to judge. We must learn to judge biblically. We must learn to judge ourselves. You must learn to judge the Word of God as it is being preached, whether it's me preaching it or someone else. You must learn to judge your church, your spouse, your children, your neighbor, your friends, your work ethic, your religion, your doctrine. You must learn from the Scriptures how to do these things the right way. And we come to our text. It is the starting point, I believe, for the believer's judgment, and that is self-judgment. Now, the context, of course, is in a church setting. They have a problem in the church at Corinth. It is a problem where that they're willing to judge others. They're willing to make judgments about other people, but they're not willing to self-judge. And so the Lord, through the apostle, writes to this church, and he says to them, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. And so the text establishes the starting point of the believer's judgment, and that is self-judgment. Self-judgment, of course, is commanded in the text. For it says, let a man examine himself in verse 28, back up in the text. It says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Even today, we're going to take the Lord's Supper later on this day. And it is to be taken with a presupposition, and that is that you're going to judge yourself. Members of this body are to examine themselves. They're examining themselves in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, examine their life in relationship to the work of Christ. And so the Bible teaches us here, let a man examine himself. And this examination, of course, is a personal examination by individuals here, of course, in context in the Lord's church. But it teaches us this biblical principle, and that is that if we're going to lay judgment on other people, we must first examine or judge ourselves. The absence of self-judgment is called out in the text. He says that many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And why is that? Because they would not judge themselves. They would not do this self-examination. And then self-judgment is commended in the text in verse 31, where we read, it says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Which teaches us this vital truth, and that is, you do not have to be judged by the Lord. As a believer, and of course it's written to believers because really we're the only ones that have the spiritual capability of making good biblical judgments. But because we do have the Bible, because we do have the Spirit of God living in us, and because we do have an old nature, we can make good biblical judgments. And if we'll take the time and we'll take this responsibility like God has given it to us, and we'll apply that in our life, it will keep the Lord from judging us. Notice what the text says. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, just a word of note here. There's a difference between the Lord judging believers and Him judging the world. When He judges us, He does that by way of chastisement, and He judges the world by way of condemnation. But if a believer will take the Word of God and apply it in his life and say, for instance, he'll say to himself, "Self, is this something that God wants me to get involved with? Is this something that God wants me to do? Is this the attitude that I should have? Is this the way that I should talk? Is this the place that I should go?" If he'll take the Word of God and make those judgments with that, then he will not be brought into the judgment by the Lord. It says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And of course, in the context, that is, we should not be judged by the Lord. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. When the Lord lays in judgment on us, He's going to chastise us. So if we would lay in judgment on ourselves, it'll keep us or prevent the Lord from bringing us into this judgment called in the text chastisement. And then you find that Christ is the center of all judgment. Self-judgment views how we value the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And I cannot stress this enough. If you'll go back into the text, it says in verse 28, well, verse 27 says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself and eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The word discernment there has the idea of judgment, valuing. In other words, laying judgment on the Lord's body. We must be a people that discerns or judges the value of the Lord Himself. And if you'll value the Lord like you should, if you'll value Him for His work on the cross for you, if you'll value Him who loved you and gave Himself for you, if you'll value Him for the gift of eternal life that He's given you and the new nature that He's blessed you with and the power to live a Christian life, if you'll value that, if you'll discern that, lay that in judgment, weigh that out, it'll keep you where you need to be with the Lord. In other words, it'll move you to judge yourself. And so last week we saw that self-judgment is demanded, and this week we look how beneficial it is. I want to just pass over this, but just to say, remember and keep this in view that this is not an option. As a matter of fact, you do not really have a right, and you cannot do it rightly, that is, judge others, unless you first judge yourself. If you're not willing to judge your own motives, then what makes you think you have a right to judge somebody else's motives? If you can't judge your own activity, what makes you think you have a right to judge somebody else's activity? So we as God's people must come to this conclusion that the Scripture gives to us, and that is that our life, as we live our life, we must keep constant before us that we are to self-judge. And so it is demanded in our text. But we want to look at its benefits this morning, because there are great benefits. There are benefits, first of all, for ourselves, and secondly, there are benefits to others. It is beneficial for you to apply the Scripture in your life. As a matter of fact, when God gives you a command in Scripture, it's going to be to your benefit. Now, it may hurt you to do it. It may not feel well to do it because of what He's telling you to do, but it is beneficial for you as God's people to apply this Scripture in your life. And the first thing we find here about this benefit to ourselves is that it protects us from the Lord judging us. Now, I already said this. The text says it. I've already said it, that if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But here we have a choice. You and I have a choice to make as God's people, and that is whether we're going to self-judge or Are we just going to go and do things and say things and believe things and act certain ways without consideration of what the Scripture says? And if we are going to live our life that way, we're going to have to suffer the consequences. Believers will suffer the consequences of not considering what the Lord has to say on a matter. And so, judge yourself, or the Lord Himself will judge you. Judge your motives. Judge your actions. I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier, beloved, for you to judge them than for the Lord to judge them. It is a lot easier for you to take the Word of God and say, Lord, search me, that is with the Word of God, search me and know me. And what that is not because the Lord doesn't know. That's so that you can know. So that you can know where you stand with Him, and that you might freely confess it and get more strength to help you in this time that you have need of. So judge your motives, judge your actions, judge your attitude, judge your will, judge your heart. And do all that by the Scripture. Or be judged. And in the idea of the judgment here isn't when we talk about or the Lord or judgment, that is, there'll be an outcome to Him judging us. And that is chastisement in the text. If you feel weak or sick, or you feel defeated, or you feel cranky or miserable, or whatever it is that you may feel, it's a good time for you to take a good evaluation of yourself before the Lord. Not only that, but secondly, the second benefit for ourselves is it makes us obedient children. There is joy and peace and rest in obedience. Back in the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Saul, and Saul was chosen king by the people. He was appointed that place by the Lord Himself. And there was a day whenever Saul was disobedient. He entered into the priest's office and he sacrificed sheep that he wasn't supposed to sacrifice. And the prophet come to him and he said, "What do I hear? I hear the bleating of the sheep," because not only had he sacrificed sheep, but he saved some for himself. He saved the good stuff for himself. When the Lord said, "Slay it all, get rid of all of it." And in that context there in the book of Kings, in the book of Samuel, you find that the Lord told him, his prophet told him, he said, "You know, the Lord, He wants obedience more than sacrifice. He wants obedience from us." And so in our text, we should have loving obedience to our Lord and be willing to be obedient to Him. And if we'll self-examine, if we'll self-judge, it'll give us peace and rest and joy because we'll be in the pathway of obedience. Thirdly, it gives us the proper attitude in our judgments. We will never be able to properly judge others unless we are careful to judge ourselves first. We may judge others and even be right about the judgments that we make, but the results will be flawed because we've failed to make self-judgment. And the failure to self-judge will lead to hypocrisy and pride and self-righteousness, which all the Bible teaches us lead to our own destruction, our own demise. I'll get more on that in just a moment when I get down to the benefits to others. Well, I guess I ought to go on there. I didn't have it here, but let's go over to Matthew 7. You know, we must learn this self-judgment. And these two scriptures, 1 Corinthians 11 and Matthew 5, are companions on the subject matter. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 teaches us how to live as kingdom subjects. And he teaches us that we must have a right attitude when we are sitting in judgment on others. If you're going to crawl up into the seat of judgment, which you can do, God's given you that ability. And what I'm doing is laying out, before we get into greater detail in the weeks to come, on things to judge and how to judge those things, is that we always keep in perspective self-judgment. Let me give you an example before I go any further. Say I'm judging false doctrine in the world. There's plenty of it. And the reason it is because there's only one way of truth and everything else is false. And there's a lot of false. There's a lot of counterfeit. And not only is there counterfeit, but there's different degrees of that counterfeit. So there's a lot of falsehood. And so when we judge falsehood, we should be harsh against falsehood. We know that it comes from Satan. But at the same time, we must judge ourselves. And one way we can judge ourselves is, all the truth that I know is because of what? Is it because I'm smart? Because I can figure it out? Nobody else can figure it out? Because I've arrived? No, every truth that every believer knows is by divine intervention, divine revelation. Amen. And so that takes the pride out of what we know. You know, knowledge, the Bible says very clearly, knowledge puffs up. Did you know that? Knowledge will puff you up if it's just bare knowledge. You can have knowledge. It can be knowledge in how to add and subtract. You know, you can do calculus. I got children. I don't know how to do calculus. I wouldn't know. When they say calculus, I'm thinking about a calculator. You know, I mean, I don't even comprehend how all that works. I've never studied. I've never developed my mind for that or studied that field. But I'll tell you what, if a person can study that and say, well, I'm smart and you're dumb. And it can puff them up. And that can be, that is in the physical world. It also can be in the religious world. And I dare say, beloved, that Baptists are prone to be puffed up. And the reason that they are is because they have a lot of knowledge. Baptists have more knowledge. The Lord started a Baptist church and He entrusted it with the truth, and it has more knowledge. But the fact is that He started it. The fact is that He equipped it. And the fact is that He gives us new natures. He gives us the mind of Christ. It all goes back to Him. And if you don't judge that right, then people will say, well, you're a know-it-all. You don't want people to look at you that way. And so we must keep this in perspective. And that's why I'm laying this out the way I am. And I pray it will be beneficial to you. It gives us the proper attitude in our judgments. And when we come to Matthew 7, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say unto thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! First, self-judge. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye. And so we'll never be able to properly judge others unless we are careful to judge ourselves first. We must make self-judgment a priority. Otherwise, we will be, as Jesus says here, the hypocrite. Isn't that what He says? He calls these people who don't self-judge. He's not saying, as the world says, don't judge. He's saying, don't judge this way. Don't judge without self-judgment. Don't judge with a beam in your eye. Don't do that. You judge yourself. You get that beam out of your own eye. And then thou shalt see clearly. See, our judgment is skewed if we don't have self-judgment. You know, in dealing with different folks, we find that It should move us to self-judgment. And as we judge ourselves and we judge others, as we judge ourselves, we'll say, you know, a lot of times when we judge others, we judge them based on our own situations in life. That is, the way we've lived our life, the way we were raised, different things. They didn't experience the same thing we experienced, and we judge them based on us, not based on them. And that's wrong judgment. We're supposed to judge ourselves not based on us, and we're not supposed to judge them based on them. We're supposed to judge ourselves on what? On the Word of God. And we're supposed to judge them based on what? The Word of God. Takes that out of there if we'll self-judge. Fourthly, it will help keep grace and mercy before our eyes. We need to be a gracious people. And to be a gracious people is a people that know what it is to have grace displayed on their life. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9 it says, "For I am the least of the apostles." Sound like the Apostle Paul had some self-judgment, didn't it? Sound like he looked at himself and he said, "You know, I'm not the great apostle." We call him the great Apostle Paul. He says, "I'm the least of the apostles. And am not meet, I'm not fit, I don't have a right to even be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me," and it was bestowed upon Paul. Paul didn't earn it, Paul didn't go after it, Paul didn't seek it. Grace was bestowed, it was a gift to the Apostle Paul. "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I." He clarifies that. "But the grace of God which was with me." As we judge others with righteous judgment, we'll be forced to see ourselves in the view of God's grace, because God's grace brings us back to reality. And God's mercy brings us back to reality. And as we judge, we may judge our position. Here the apostle is judging his position as an apostle. He's an apostle. But he could say, "As I judge myself as an apostle, I'm not fit to be an apostle. I'm not meet to be an apostle." As he judged himself as one sin of God, he said, "I didn't earn this. God gave it to me. It was bestowed upon me. What I am, I'm not anything. What I accomplish, my accomplishments are nothing. What is accomplished through me and by me is really God's grace working in me." That's what self-judgment will do to you. If you don't have that attitude whenever you're going up against others and talking about others and placing yourself in position or thinking what others are, then your attitude is wrong. We must have self-judgment. And fifthly, it will keep our motive for judging others in perspective. Back in our text, we find that as we judge ourselves, we'll be forced to examine why we are judging. Now think about this with me. Don't just judge because you have a right to do it. You ask yourself, "Why am I doing this? Why am I judging? Why are we judging? Why are we judging the situation?" In the text, the apostle is calling these people back to the reality that they must have self-judgment. And as they look upon the situation, there are some that are sick, there are some that are weak, there are some that are dead. And they look around the whole, and they say that they see this whole situation going on that they're involved in. And they say, "Okay, what part do I have in this death? What part do I have in this? Is it always his fault or her fault or their fault? Why is this church in such a mess?" That's what he's calling them back to reality to. And the first thing he says, it's all her fault. That's why we're in such a mess. Self-examine. See? He brings it to say, doesn't mean there can't be examination in the other area, but there must be the priority of self-examination. And then it benefits others. beneficial because it gives us power to help those in need. And I'll tell you this truth. When we're sitting in the throne of judgment and judging other believers and judging situations that come up in this world, the intent for us to judge is to make things better, not worse. We said in judgment on a wayward brother, what we're trying to do is to bring them back and restore them. That's what we're trying to do. That's the intent. Even a whole church, as it sets in judgment sometime and excludes a member, cuts a member off from the body, takes drastic measures and puts them out of the body, the intent of that is to turn them over to Satan so that they won't, their soul won't be destroyed. It's not for their destruction. I've been in churches long enough to know that sometime when church discipline is exercised, there's kind of a glee and a smirk and a joy in certain people's heart and mind. Say, well, finally got rid of that fella, and I'm so glad, you know. And that's we kind of bubble up inside. Well, we're going to get rid of him. We're going to get rid of her. We'll take this opportunity. And that's not the way we should be. It should be done out of concern for their soul. And so when you're judging each other and you're talking to each other in judgment, this is vital to see this and why there must be self-judgment. And isn't that what Jesus said there in Matthew 7:5? When he says, you get that beam out, and then when you get that out, you'll be able to go get that mote out of their eye. And of course, it's interesting that Jesus used this term beam and mote. Beam is larger, mote is smaller. The God-honoring purpose in our judging is judging other believers is to help them. And our judgments are worthless. Matter of fact, they even may cause more damage if we do not self-judge. We must first seek correction from the Lord, like David did in Psalm 51. Whenever David had that great sin that he had with Bathsheba, one thing that he wanted done was for the Lord to cleanse him and the Lord to restore him that he might be able to teach sinners the way. You can read that for yourself there in Psalm 51, especially verses 1 through 4 and verses 7 through 13. And self-judgment should be brought into view through God's dealings with those around you. We have a right and responsibility to judge. We'll be able to help each other, even help the whole body of Christ that we're members of, if we'll make this a priority in our life. And that is to set judgment on our own self first. Say, Lord, search me. Show me where I'm wrong. Help me, Father, to be a better Christian. You know, it's one thing to pray for somebody else to be a better Christian. Nothing wrong with that, is there? No, but it starts with saying, Lord, help me to be a better one. Lord, I want your help. Show me so I can repent of this, get things right with thee, and be drawn near to thee in fellowship. I pray the Lord will bless you with that, and I pray it'll be a good study for you and for us as a body. Thank you for your attention to God's Word this morning.